Start young. Start young. Start now. Don't wait till tomorrow. If it's your dream, it's your passion, do it. Don't sacrifice yourself for others. Just do what you love to do, and do it because you love it. Don't do it. Ed Sheeran's and all these big artists are still there these days, not for the money. They've got plenty of money. They keep doing it because they love to do it. So do it because you love to do it. Don't do it because of any financial gain. So it's who I am. It's what I do, and I do it a little bit. Yeah, my partner says, you love the attention. I'm like, okay, you wouldn't be a performer if you didn't love a little bit of attention there. I went through quite a lot of years just obviously drinking way too much, completely lost myself, hadn't played music properly for at least 10 years. And it's just one day I just sat down and wrote that song. And it was, like I say, music's therapy, music's healing. And I realised what I was doing, and it wasn't helping me, and it wasn't hurting the other person either, or anyone else either. So I needed a change. And the one message I send out with that song is that you can change your life at any point in time. You've got to make the decision, do you want to change it? So Do you want to stick where you are and stay in that rut, or do you want to get out? And it was only because of my friends that coached me, and my guideposts, I call them, that made someone that saw, that rang me every day.
Yeah.
Bring your friends every day, you know?
Welcome to Songwriter Trysts. This is an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I love talking with other artists about the power of songwriting and their journey to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Please support the podcast by subscribing, or you can buy us a coffee all through the website songwritertrysts.com.
I'm Scotty Mack. I'm from Charterville, outback Queensland, and I've been a singer, songwriter now for my whole life, obviously. We all started at a very young age, and I'm 37. I've been doing this since I was like 16, 17 sort of thing, probably younger than that, but I started songwriting at about 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And music's my passion. It's who I am. It's what I do. I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to 16. What happened at 16 that made you write a song?
When I was younger, so about the age of 10, 11, I lost my father to a heart attack, and he was like only 49, and I was only like obviously 9 or 10. So I think the first song I ever wrote was about him, and it was about the wish I regret. And because, you know, when you're a kid, you mess up and you kind of, you know, when you get in trouble and things. Anyway, I said some things I shouldn't. Anyway, it was many years later when I was about 16, 17, and I was thinking about that time when I said to Dad, oh, I wish you'd die and things like that, you know. Yeah. Well, 2 weeks later after I said that, he did. So it was kind of one of those things that when you're a kid, you sort of, and then I was kind of like 16, 17, sort of reflecting on that and thinking, you know, the wish I regret. And so I started writing that song. And then, so it was probably the first song I ever wrote and recorded. And then later recorded. So, and then that led me into the whole world of going to a recording studio. And I'd never been in one. And it was A Sharp Studios in Sydney. And I went and recorded it all with, where the Wolverines did their stuff. So, I was just flying by the seat of my pants, didn't need nowhere.
That must have been overwhelming to do that at 16. How did you get that opportunity?
It was just the opportunity came, whereas later on when it's been a slow process because I've never had funding. I've always funded everything myself. So I've had to work hard, save the money, then go and do it. I might have wrote the song at 16, but it wasn't until I was like 18, 19 until I decided, okay, let's go and record some of these songs that I've written.
Yeah.
So it was a plane flight. I think it was $5,000 to make the album, and then it was to make the EP, and then it was all the plane flights and everything else. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. So, we went down
still
to
is,
that.
It's
and
even
then
worse now.
It's even worse now. It's so hard to do what we do.
Anyway.
But we do it because
we
love
it. Anyway. Yeah, we're not doing it for the money.
That's it. We do it because we love it. And we love to see, like, the messages that you get from people when your songs touched other people, as I like to do with my music. it's therapeutic for me, but it also helps others, I find. So
what was your inspiration for music? Like, were you, was your dad a musician, or like, how did you get into music in the first place?
So I had a cousin who was a country music singer when she was younger, and she was older than me, and we used to go and watch her in country music festivals and talent quests and things like that. This is around the time when we're all kids, and it's through the ranks, and Kirsty Lee Akers, and there was Michael Moko, and there was all those artists that were sort of coming up through. And so what the late 1990s, 2000 sort of thing. Yeah, I was about 16. Between the ages of 12 and, say, my teenage years, that's when I started. I was already starting to learn guitar and from a friend and stuff. It was pieces here and there, just learning things. And then, but yeah, I saw her sing on stage, and I said to Mum, I want to do that. That looks like fun. Before then, I used to be like a little dancer.
Really?
I liked Michael Jackson dancing and stuff before I was 10.
So you've always loved the stage then?
Yeah, I've always loved being like performing and stuff. Even when I was 4 years old, I remember being in preschool, standing on a table, thinking I was Elvis, and I had like a little guitar that my dad made me. He had a little wooden box, and he put a piece of like timber on it and four nails, and then he put like fishing line on it and made me a little guitar and gave it to me.
Oh, that's so adorable.
Just out of fishing line. I was four, maybe five.
You still have it, though, do you? Probably.
No, I don't have it anymore. I don't know where that went to, but, so that sort of started. And then I'd be up there playing, thinking I was playing. I was four. But, even from that back then, I was either a dancer, did Michael Jackson dancing, but then I got chubby, so then that went out the window. But yeah, all through school, all throughout my life, I've always been involved in music in some way, whether it was dancing or I even did drum school through school. So I learned how to read drum music and play proper drums, and I was a drummer first, and then played in a lot of drums in high school bands, and even in like a church band once. Mm-hmm. And then I was learning drums and guitar, and the drums really helped learn the guitar, obviously, because you need rhythm for both. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started, once I got the songwriting bug, I just kept writing songs and kept writing songs. And then a little while ago, I heard a little quote from Ed Sheeran that said, you write 100 songs and 10 might be good. And about the water runs dirty for a while and then it eventually runs clear when you figure out what it's all about with songwriting. So, it's just music's just a passion of mine. And so from a very young age, I've just always been involved in music, and music's my life. I did take a good 10 years off there where I let some things get in the way, and I kind of lost myself there for a bit. And that's a bit, little bit what Beers and Bullets is about too. Just I kind of lost myself and then tried to please other people and be someone else to please other people and that sort of thing. So if that happens in life, but then you realise and things come around, you get back to who you are again. Been awesome. A musician.
You're back in a big way.
I'm back.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You said that it's been therapeutic for you. When did that start? What do you mean by therapeutic?
I think whenever I've got something going on, I always like to write songs about it. So, and I draw my songwriting, I draw it from experiences to write songs. I don't like to write things that are untrue. Whether it's a feeling, whether it's a situation that happened, like Folks Like Us, where I walked into a bar and there was a bloke hanging his head, and I said, "It's all right, mate. Folks Like Us always land on their feet." So then that whole thing, that one line, just led to a song. So that's how I sort of view my songwriting, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It may not always be like that in the future. I may do some rocky dance stuff next time. I'm looking at doing some something different next year. Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm like that. I'm a bit – I think I get restless with my songwriting, which is why I like working with other people as well, because it's like you get to let go of the boundaries of, oh, I'm a country musician or whatever it is. Like you can just do whatever you feel like you want to do. Have you worked with many other people in collaboration or co-writing? What's your experience with that?
Because I've been stuck in a small country town, Charleville, for so long and – I haven't really collaborated with any other artists. I'd love to. The opportunities just haven't arisen. So I'd love to songwrite with other people and collaborate with other people and put things together and then record them together. And I'd love to do all that. I just haven't had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I've been, just locked away in a little small country town.
Yeah.
And now that I'm on the coast, so now I've moved down to like Toowoomba, Laidley area.
Okay.
I can actually go to a shop and buy guitar strings.
Yeah.
I don't have to order them online.
That. Here with me. I'm in the Gold Coast. You're not even that far from me.
No, I'll come down and have a songwriting session one day. It looks like you've got a good room for it.
I'd love it. Yeah. Kid songwriting for me is intimate, and it started in the bedroom. I never shared any. I didn't share music with anyone for like 30 years. For me, it was therapy as well. But it was like you'd have to kill me to before I'd get up on stage and sing in front of people. I had to get
Do you find too like your songs are like your babies, and you don't want to release them to anyone? Like I was like that for a very, very long time. I was like that. Like no, this song's mine. No, I can't give it to you. No.
What if you ruin it? No. Yeah.
You know?
What if overprotective parents.
So, yeah, same.
Do you have kids?
My baby. No.
I got
it just
kids.
Didn't happen to me.
That's all right. I mean, it's still time. There's no clock for guys. You know, Adam Brand had his at 50, didn't he? So, you know. Hey. There's no rush for guys. But I think that for me, like every single song is a child, but children have to, like, you have to raise them up and then you have to let them into the world and they've got to do their own thing. And I see that as like the recording process. So like the writing it and then the developing it and the recording and all that pre-release stuff for me is like raising the child. And then it's like, hopefully you've done the best you can. If you could co-write with anyone in the world though, dead or alive, who would it be? Like, who are your inspirations?
Oh, Garth Brooks. I got to say that first.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
He was one that just was he started me. It was like Garth Brooks, Brooks and Dunn, Alan Jackson, all those American 90s guys. And then the Australian artists in and around sort of that time, maybe a bit after, like Troy Cassidaly. And Lee Kernaghan at the time was one of my favourites as well. So if I could co-write with anyone, dead or alive, I'd say Keith Urban.
Yeah.
I'd say Keith Urban because I think Keith Urban has got a lot to offer in the songwriting space as well as the longevity space. So of having a career for so long, and I'd love to be mentored by Keith Urban. That'd be just the best.
Can I come? Yeah. I'd want that too for sure. Let's do it. We'll just go to Nashville and be like, hey man, help us out.
What are we doing wrong here?
Yeah,
I saw one of his best pieces of advice for Australian artists. Mm-hmm. He said, when you come to Nashville, forget everything you know. He said, forget everything you know, and you've got to start again, and it's about building the networking. It's about the people you meet, not necessarily how good you are. You can be the best in the world if you don't meet the right people in the right place. Then, fair enough.
It's not meant to be something that we do on our own, is it?
No, I'm finding that.
Have you been to Nashville?
No, never been to Nashville. I've not been many places in Australia, even because I've spent most of my time sort of in outback Queensland. But then at the same point in time, I've been to Rockhampton and places here and there. But I think I might have been in New South Wales maybe four times in my life, three times, something like that.
True local.
So
get you out and about.
Boys, I know. Like everything's so dear now, plane flights and accommodation, and it's like, and then when you've got to charge a venue to do all that sort of stuff, but it gets a bit crazy. Being self-managed too isn't always easy, as you know. So,
That's why we need support. But that whole stage fright, I think part of that was a fear that I felt like I had to do everything on my own, and that concept was really overwhelming. Like I needed to do 3 years and learn how to become a software engineer and how to mix and master all of my own stuff, and then I had to learn how to play every single instrument. And I don't know why I thought that, but I think it's like this thing in Australia that like you've got to be self-sufficient. And I went to Nashville on a whim from like a random invite, and I was like, I just had the money, and I was like, yeah, why not? I'll go. And it was there where I was like, oh my god, it is a well-oiled machine, and they all have their like one thing that they're really good at, and then all the other stuff is just like done by the other person that's really good at that thing. And that was like, whoa, I can just be a singer and performer and entertainer and songwriter, and I don't have to like be killer amazing on the guitar and be able to produce everything. Like as soon as I realized that, like this weight went off my shoulder. I was like, oh yeah, let's do it. Sweet. Like,
yeah, Aussie Battlers, we just keep pushing through. Like I was very lucky to find a producer by the name of David Richards who had worked with Andre Rieu, Pink, and all that in Charleville. It was a friend of the mayor, because the mayor of Charleville, Mark O'Brien at the time, he used to play guitar and stuff, and then he built a studio at the back of his place for the community to come and do things.
That's so cool.
So there was a chance encounter meeting one of his mates, Dave Richards, who was from Sydney at what's his name, his studio? I can't remember now, but it starts with V. But he knows Michael McGlynn. He was him and Michael McGlynn doing work together from Sydney. And long story short, he come out to Charleville and eventually moved to Charleville. So I've been very lucky that he moved to Charleville, and then we started recording together because he moved three doors down from my house.
Sweet.
And which was a win.
Yeah,
but we've been friends for at least six years now, and he says he discovered me. He reckons.
Let him have it. That's amazing.
I was always there, man. I was always there. You just needed to turn up.
Yeah.
So, and we become really good friends. And he's done a lot. He's done a lot for me in the as mates rates. He's done a lot for me as in putting me in contact with people. And then we had a tourism thing once, and a guy come out by the name of Pete Murray, not the singer, but he was a camera guy for Channel 7.
Yeah.
Then he rocks up to Charleville and moves to Charleville because there's all this work there. Well, on the side, what does he do? Film clips. Music film clips.
Winning.
Winning. So, and you know,
you couldn't get away from it. They were all coming to you.
They were all coming to me by the end. All this money I'd spent traveling to these people. Like I did one album with one sort of EP for the Folks Like Us EP in Brisbane, and we got David and I to meet up in Brisbane, and we hired a studio and we did it there. And then David decides to move to Charleville. So why can you do that like 6 months ago?
Save me all that money. I love that. Okay. I want to ask you a question around advice. Now, sometimes I like to ask it, like, if you could go back in time and talk to yourself like 10, 20 years ago, what would you say? Or if you're just thinking about young kids now, because it's going to be completely different to 20 years ago. People who are wanting to get into the industry, you know, with everything you know now, what's the best piece of advice that you could give them?
Start young. Start young. Start now. Don't wait till tomorrow. If it's your dream, it's your passion, do it. Don't sacrifice yourself for others. Just do what you love to do, and do it because you love it. Don't do it. Ed Sheeran and all these big artists are still there these days, not for the money. They've got plenty of money. They keep doing it because they love to do it. So do it because you love to do it. Don't do it because of any financial gain. So it's who I am. It's what I do, and I do it a little bit. Yeah, my partner says, you love the attention. I'm like, okay, you wouldn't be a performer if you didn't love a little bit of attention there. But everyone, we all have a little bit of attention. Everyone needs attention.
It's need. It's like food. You got to have it, you know.
Yeah, just that little bit. There can be too much attention. I found that out on TikTok when I was on TikTok for so much. I've got 6,500 followers on TikTok, and I was going live all the time, and there was just getting way too much attention, and then they're up in my space a bit. So I was like, whoa, back up. But, yeah, so my advice would be, start young. If decide if you want to be a musician or an entertainer or in the entertainment space at all, start young, learn young, ask lots of questions from older people who have already been there, and you'll learn fast that way.
Be curious. I love it.
Be curious. Be adventurous, be curious, be and creative. Don't be afraid to try something different. Like, I know next year I'm going to try and create a whole new genre, and it's going to be like something completely left field of what all the rest of my stuff sounds like. Okay. Like, it's going to be like
you're doing a Garth Brooks.
I want to do Nickelback meets country. So it's going to be like I love Nickelback.
They're my favorite.
I mean, give me Nickelback.
We're not allowed to like them for some reason. I don't know why, but like,
I love Nickelback. I just want to do like Nickelback songs with a banjo and a cowbell. Ding, ding.
What's your favorite Nickelback song?
Oh, at the moment, I've got San Quentin off their new album. It's probably really grungy. I just love it. I love the bass lines. I love the big bass lines that come through. Yeah. I just love it.
I think they're definitely a massive influence from my teenage years. all right, well, that's everything as far as I wanted to ask you, but is there anything else you would like to share that we've maybe missed or something that you'd like to say before we finish up?
Probably the new single, Beers Like Bullets. That's a song that has been pretty good in the charts at the moment, but that's also a song that is a very personal one, especially since like one of the producers, one of our producers that when we were making it, there's probably a little inside scoop to the song. Unfortunately, one of our producers passed away while we were making the song. So it's a very, even though the song's heartfelt for me, it made it even more so for Dave Richards and myself, because RIP Mr. Michael McGlynn played piano on the song. And it was like only a couple of days after he'd done that unfortunately we lost him. So, but that song has so much meaning, because I went through quite a lot of years just obviously drinking way too much, completely lost myself, hadn't played music properly for at least 10 years. And it's just one day I just sat down and wrote that song. And it was, like I say, music's therapy, music's healing. And I realized what I was doing, and it wasn't helping me, and it wasn't hurting the other person either, or anyone else either. So I needed to change. And the one message I send out with that song is that you can change your life at any point in time. You've got to make the decision, do you want to change it? So do you want to stick where you are and stay in that rut, or do you want to get out? And it was only because of my friends that coached me, and my guideposts, I call them, that mates of mine that rang me every day.
Yeah,
bring your friends every day, you know. Check on them, see if they're all right, because you just don't know. Those, especially blokes, they'll go, yeah, I'm all right. And then, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Yep. You know?
I'm one of those people.
So I'm very big on that. But, yeah, Beers Like Bullets is a song about that struggle with alcohol and being stuck there. But the message is, like, it just illustrates what it's like for people who sort of don't know what it's like to be a full-blown alcoholic and blacking out every night and doing 5 and 7 cartons a week. And look, those days are gone, luckily, because of my friends. But and I've got my music career back, and I've got me back, and we're going hard at it. We're doing it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today.
Yeah, don't wait for someone to ask. No one ever asks us to write songs.
So, that's right.
You just got to
go. Another word of advice for all that I've noticed for all artists up and coming is be the nicest person you can be, because the nicest people in Nashville are the ones that are on the top of the leaderboard right now. We got Jelly Roll. Never heard a bad word said about Jelly Roll. Never heard a bad word said about Luke Combs. So, you know, those kinds of people. Ed Sheeran. I don't think I've ever heard a bad word said about Ed Sheeran. It's actually, even Troy Cassidaly. Like, I've sung with Troy a couple of times and had a couple of jam sessions with Troy. That man will literally give you the shirt off his back. I've seen it. If you're cold, mm-hmm. he'll give a woman a coat. That's what you do. Just be the best version of yourself that you can be. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and check out all the rest of my stuff too. So I've got a bunch of songs on Spotify and that, so yeah.
I'm going to put a blog together on the website, songwritertrist.com, but also the description of the podcast, wherever people are listening to it, will be all your socials and your website and your music, so people should be able to follow you, go check out your music, and just continue to watch your journey. But it is really hard to change, and so I really respect that you're choosing to live your best life and be honest and true to who you are as an artist, and I'm so grateful that you're doing that now, and I know how hard it is to do that. So keep going. Never stop. Love it. Thank you so
much. Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. Now I'm just going to lose 30 kilos and I'll be fine.
Thanks for joining our songwriter Trist today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website, songwritertrysts.com. No one can hear me. Wish I